And finally, one more word about creative solutions to ongoing problems, this time in Afghanistan. As its citizens look ahead to elections later this month, many analysts fear ongoing violence and continuing fraud. But despite all the bad news, some see a new spirit in the country. They include essayist Gail Zemak-Laman, who has been traveling to Afghanistan repeatedly since 2005, and she sent us this audio postcard from her most recent visit to Kabul this spring.
Arriving in Kabul, I was immediately struck by the sun and tripped up by a slippery new headscarf which refused to remain in place. It's hard to look dignified while wearing a lopsided veil, especially while pushing a pile of suitcases on an aging silver cart to the parking lot 200 yards away. Security makes curbside pickups unthinkable. This was my fourth time in Afghanistan. It was my first Kabul spring. All of my earlier trips had come in winter, when short days and cold nights make the city a far less welcoming place. I marveled at the heat and the rose bushes, which would make any gardener rapturous. Mangoes lined the fruit stalls, sitting in wooden carts next to cherries of deep burgundy, and watermelons imposing enough to sweep a Midwestern 4-H contest. Moving around the city, I found that warmer weather did indeed mean moods had lifted since winter, when kidnappings and bombings ran rampant across Kabul. I soon visited with Kamala, an entrepreneur I'd met in 2005. She was just back from London and desperately seeking office space, now at a premium in the more foreigner-friendly parts of Kabul. Rents can run as high as $10,000 a month, a steep price tag for struggling business owners anywhere, but particularly in Afghanistan. Kamala was eager to win more contracts for her business consultancy, a firm she had founded a few years earlier with just herself and her laptop. Now that she had about a dozen employees, Kamala wanted to be sure she had enough business to keep everyone working at full speed for a while. She's not the only one who sees opportunity now that Afghanistan is once again on the world's radar. At lunch one Friday, I spotted the influx everyone was talking about. Contractors moving from Baghdad to Kabul. Kabul is where the action is now, and the money. All these people pouring into the city has made bad traffic even worse. Streets are teeming with people, trucks, donkeys, bikes, horses, military convoys, and tanks. Most fights for the right-of-way are decided by a game of chicken I always stop watching right before it's won. Stoplights have come to Kabul, but they often tangle traffic even further, and their advice is readily ignored by savvy drivers ready to make a break for it when there's an opening. People still trust their own judgment, far more than an electronic light in the sky. 7 years of a stop-and-start reconstruction process has done little to change that. Elections are coming, and no one dares to predict what that will mean for the fragile stability now holding in the capital, while the violent insurgency continues to rage across southern and eastern provinces. For their part, Kamala and her family are deeply committed to their country. Despite all the setbacks and the security concerns, they believe a brighter future is possible if foreigners continue to help rebuild Afghanistan and Afghans seize the moment. "See you in a few months," she said, bidding me goodbye. "Let's see if things continue to get better when you return. Inshallah, God willing, they will."
That was journalist Gail Zemak-Laman. She's working on a book about a young Afghan entrepreneur who supported her family and her community during the Taliban years. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.